O Lord, help us to commence this evening with hymn 1009. Lord, I approach thy throne of grace, where mercy does abound, desiring mercy for my sin, to heal my soul's deep wound. 1009.
Let us read in the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40. In the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40. Isaiah 40. Comfort ye. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably, margin to the heart, to Jerusalem, to the heart to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. Again, the margin, her appointed time is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, Cry, and he said, What shall I cry? All flesh is grass. For the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand for ever. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counsellor hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. To whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto him? The workman who melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Let us pray. O thou great and vast, eternal God, we bow before thy great majesty here this evening, and would plead the promise of thy grace through Jesus Christ our Lord. And oh, we would plead thy name alone. We read, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. As we wend our way into the courts of the Lord this night, we would come in that exercise and frame of mind, so we would see Jesus. O blessed physician, dost know all our case. What a mercy thou art, a God of knowledge. For I, being omniscient, dost know all the cases of the poor and the sin sick and the weary and the guilty and the desolate and those who know themselves to be so afar off and yet can't bring themselves to be nigh. Oh, how they long to be made nigh to God, to Christ. Oh, we do pray they may know the sweet and blessed experience the apostle declared, made nigh by the blood of Christ. Oh, we do pray that thou who art in the heavens would look down upon us in thy great compassion and come where we are. We need much saving. Oh, we need a great salvation. We're such sinners in thy sight. Sinners with all we do. We possess that human nature, those hearts that the prophet Jeremiah declared as he cried out. No doubt he knew it about himself. And it's true of every one of thy people. The heart is deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We believe thy people know it, Lord, in some measure. Every man is in the same boat, but how many grieve and mourn and weep after Christ because they are so wretched and so vile. Oh, may I be among them. May we be among them, Lord. Dear Lord, may a mourner be over my sins and after thee. And when my mourning days are all, enjoy thy presence evermore, those pleasures at thy right hand. O thy kingdom come, Lord, that eternal in the heavens, we're upon the earth. Poor needy worms, we need thee in our lives, need thee to be with us. We've many crooked things. There's one crookedness that thou hast not made, our sinnership. But there are those crooked things in our providence we see and realize are the hand of the Lord, the hand of our God. And Lord, when thou dost make a thing crooked, no man can make it straight. We cannot lay it straight, Lord. But may we look to thee. Bring us safely through all our crooked things. And we may see one by one, here little and there little, oh, the Lord's good hand making our crooked things straight and our rough places plain. Please go before us in life's journey. Don't leave us to ourselves. Don't leave us to flounder. Don't leave us to make shipwreck. But be with us unto the very end, we pray. And may we know thee as our mighty God and Saviour. Oh, may we hide in thee. Oh, may it be thy doctrine tonight that shall drop us the rain, and thy speech that shall distill us the dew. We want that softening of heart, that reality. We realise that here below we only know in part and see in part. But Lord, oh, that there may be that little view by faith, that be in part, yet in that part that we see, we may have a sweet hope that we shall see thee face to face, be known even as we are known. Lord, bless us now. Kind physician, in not a heart taker, a soul troubled, a desperate case, Lord, a weak case, a solemn case that's too hard for thee, Lord. Oh, lift up our fainting hearts, and may we know what it is to recline a little upon thee. It has to be through the Word made flesh and dwelling among us. Oh, blessed, holy Lord Jesus, do dwell among us tonight. And may we know what it is to recline our head on thy bosom for a few moments by precious faith and rest on that everlasting covenant. Bless us in our gathering, Lord. Oh, speak the healing word. Oh, remove the iniquity of our land from us, we pray, the land of our own life and soul and circumstances. We read the iniquity of that land shall be removed in one day. Bring us to the sacrifice at Calvary. Oh, may we view those precious streams in streams of blood, as the poet, streams of mercy in streams of blood. As we sang in that hymn this morning, oh, that blessed river of water of life, Lord. Oh, that precious water, that river that flows from thy ocean fullness, that sacred flood that flows from beneath thy throne, and it's drawn from Emmanuel's veins, we firmly believe. Lord, come and grant the healing touch. Give us all a real Holy Ghost religion. Oh, may the careless, the indifferent, the cold, the formal, those happy for a Sunday religion and no more. Oh, Lord, may they be blessed with eternal life, quickened into life, begin to be in one. Oh, may they be awakened to their true state. Oh, may they be drawn to thy feet, brought to the mercy seat. And Lord, remember then the cases of the poor who are exercised, those who do know something of thy love and mercy. And where are they now? Oh, they wander in the wilderness in a solitary way, and find no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul faints within them. All they can do is to keep crying to the Lord for help, for thy returning mercies, for thee to be with them, to save them from perishing, to uphold them, to sanctify their troubles to them, to bring them safely through all their woe, all their ill, all their fears, temptations, all their sorrows. Oh, do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion, and build thou the walls of Jerusalem, even among us here tonight, Lord. Oh, come where we are. Bless the young and rising race, young men and young women, Lord. Give them the tender fear of the Lord. Oh, we do pray that each may be brought into exercise. And though they're young and naturally look forward to a good long life before them, to make them very wise and open to their understanding the never-ending years of eternity and the fewness of their days. They may begin to lay up prayers against their dying day and commit their way and call upon thy name. Make them very, very wise in this modern global age to seek to dwell under thy shadow forever. Oh, to be kept, to be saved at last. Lord, we wonder what they'll live to see in the persecution that is arising upon the believers in this land and among all nations, Lord. Our a global age brings a global persecution, Lord. Oh, no more fleeing across the Atlantic when Antichrist has the world under his dominion for a short while. Not complete dominion. But Lord, his time is short. He's working lying wonders in this modern age in which we live. But thy kingdom come. May we be among those who abide under thy shadow, to be brought safely through our days, and that we at last may indeed, when we come to the swellings of Jordan, be brought safely through, lift up our heads with joy among the sons of God. So bless our young friends, the dear little ones in arms. We love to see them. We love to hear them in Zion. We bring them unto thee, Lord. Oh, bless them. Oh, may they be thine. We humbly pray. We're all in their various trials and troubles, those in the daily business, the domestic scene, the mothers and wives in the home, the married and the unmarried, Lord, and those who suffer pain and have much weakness and family trials and personal private griefs. We do pray there may be some help for them in Zion tonight. Oh, do bless thy word here. Make thy grace to abound. Gather unto them such as shall be saved, even from this village and district, such as shall be saved, we pray. And build thou the walls of Jerusalem, grant unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. May this church and people be kept tender, kept in need, kept exercised, kept poor. Oh, how quickly we can become strong. May no one just merely enjoy the numbers or feel a certain safety in mere numbers, though we long to see a godly increase in number, we really do. But Lord, oh, that as individuals, each one may perceive their nakedness, their ruin, their exposure, and may they have exercise to be hid in that tremendous day, to hide in thee, as the poet says, hide me. Oh, my Saviour, hide, till the storm of life is past, safe into the haven guide. Oh, receive my soul at last. So bless the generations, we pray. Bless office bearers. Give them much wisdom and grace and godly fear. May they look to in every matter, seek counsel of God in all their matters here, Lord, and lean hard upon thee. And bring our dear friend back safely from Earthlingborough this day, and bless the sermon read and the sermon preached. Remember thy dear servant there, Lord, may be much strengthened and helped and restored, we pray. Oh, bless him and all thy servants. We pray for the dear brethren at home. Grant us thy spirit there, and bless thy dear servant there. Bless each precious soul, young and old. Remember the brief friends, Fen Stands, and the brief family. Be merciful to them and uphold the dear parents in their grief. We humbly pray. We thank thee for that good hope. Blessed be God, sovereign Lord, who has a sovereign right to govern the lives of the sons of men. And such a blessed, blessed right with love in thy heart. Thine own dear people, must govern the lives of one of thy dear people, and taken her well before the allotted span. Come with the dear parents in all their grief and sorrow, and do confirm them and console them in their hearts, not only that they may have some sense of the felicity and joy of their dear departed, but Lord, also that they themselves one day shall go in and be with Christ, which is far better. And therefore the family, the whole family, and all connected, we pray, may they be comforted. My dear servant, bless him there and help him and maintain and establish him and be with him. And all that are bereaved, others bereaved of the loved one, we pray for them, grant consolation to them. And all thy people in their great need, all we do pray, thou King of Zion, oh, remember thy flocks, remember the poor and the needy, the weak and the dying, those that are afraid, those that are weary and heavy laden. We pray for thy dear people in England and among nations and peoples and tribes of the earth, especially where there's persecution. Now we thank thee, Lord, for thy mercies. Oh, how good and gracious thou hast been over the years. Oh, such a good God, since one was born. One has to say it personally, pardon the personal prayer before others, being good to me, Lord. Oh, a beast indeed, a good God. And are there not many of us that can unite and say, thou hast been our helper, thou hast been mindful of us, thou art our salvation. Oh, thou hast been so good, and help us to believe in our heart thou'll yet be good. We need thee much. Oh, Lord, we do desire to rightly render praise and thanksgiving unto thee for all thy kind and thy tender mercies to us, Lord, especially also in the things of the nation, the supply of every need and the seasons, the seed time and harvest and the seasons, Lord, that thou descend in thy covenant faithfulness. We pray to acknowledge God in all our ways. Or we read, acknowledge him in all thy ways, and that he shall bring it to pass. And again, delight thyself also in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Oh, may we delight in thee more. Oh, thy beauty trace, thy majesty adore. As we try to quote this morning, Lord. Oh, to live near thy heart and upon thy bosom lean, Lord. Help us so to do. And the poet says, the wise man in thy word says, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Lord, thy presence with us here, formed in our heart, the hope of glory, safety on earth and safety through that through death, which is only a twinkle of an eye, and after death, the plenitude of heaven. Grant us this portion, we humbly pray. So now we must look to thee, Lord. Anything or anyone we should have prayed for in weakness we may have omitted. Thank for the daily safety. One of our younger friends recovered after a solemn accident. We thank for thy mercies in this unto him and bless him. Might be sanctified and to him and to all concerned. We would count our many mercies. No doubt, Lord, we each have our own personal pathway to walk. There are many things that are private with us that are not known publicly. Yet we would desire to rightly acknowledge thy goodness and thy mercy. So bless the brethren here and do them good. We humbly pray. And now do help a poor man. If thou dost not help me, Lord, I shall struggle and be in bondage. I do need help tonight. I really do. Please come, Lord. Oh, don't deal with us, Lord, as we richly deserve. Don't leave us to ourselves, but grant the Holy Ghost in the ministry tonight. We plead for that due unction which alone comes from God. There may be that due descending upon us from above, in pulpit and in pew, that the gospel may not, that thy gospel may not be in word only, but in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. There may be that application, we pray. So pardon our many, many, many sins. Plead for thy merciful blessing and help now, as we plead thy precious all-prevailing name, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 218. Mercy is welcome news indeed to those that guilty stand. Wretches that feel what help they need will bless the helping hand. 218.
Thank you.
complete dependence upon the help of the Holy Ghost, I ask your prayerful attention to Isaiah chapter 40 and to verse 9. Isaiah chapter 40 and to verse 9. O Zion that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up, be not afraid, sons of the cities of Judah, behold your God. The marginal rendering there, of course, is O Zion that bringest good tidings, O thou that tellest good tidings to Zion. And again where it says, O Jerusalem, the margin, O thou that tellest good tidings to Jerusalem. Lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid, son to the cities of Judah. Behold your God. Now, in the night watches it came so forcibly, behold your God. And it is this particular emphasis that I cannot get away from. Behold your God. You know, in Zion alone there are good tidings. Blessed tidings. The angels sang, did they not? Behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And then the heavenly host appeared, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, and goodwill toward men. Oh, good tidings to the poor, vile, stinking worms of the earth. You know, to bear our shame and nakedness is a very painful thing. But everyone that is safely gathered into the holy city at last will know something of their shame and nakedness and the plague of their own heart. And oh, how they want to find relief. And they will find relief. We read, I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. And oh, thou that tellest good tidings, you quote from the margin, really, that's Christ, isn't it, in the full sense thereof. Why, he came with such good tidings. He says, he said, it lives today, that truth. His word is a living word in Zion, maybe a living word in my heart and yours. Let not your heart be troubled, ye believe in God. Believe also in me. I know that subject is vast. To really believe in the Lord, to really believe in our heart is to worship him, delight in him, reverence him, trust in him, honour him, and eat and drink him. Ah, so with so many of the Lord's people, is it not so much, Lord, I believe, help thy mine unbelief, but oh, good tidings of great joy, that the Lord liveth and blessed be my rock. Some of you have a rock, haven't you? A glorious eternal rock. You've had to sink down on that rock again and again and again in your life. And ah, my friends, poor sinking sinners shall never be moved. Sir Frank Gosden once said he returned home in deep waters. He said, I sank, and I sank on those everlasting arms. Now, O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid, sons of the cities of Judah. Behold your God. No doubt this is a prophecy of the gospel ministry, of the tidings of great joy, of why Zion's King. Oh, Zion's Saviour, Zion's friend, Zion's Redeemer forever. The Lord isn't a Redeemer for a few incidents and trials in life. He's the Redeemer forever and ever and ever. Now, really, I've tried to think upon the first part of the verse, but find my mind gets a bit confused. I honestly feel the Lord really would have me just emphasize that last clause, behold at your God. But, you know, he does say, lift it up, lift up thy voice. It's not so much the lifting up, perhaps in an outward sense, the natural voice of the ministers of the gospel, but to declare these blessed tidings of great joy from the heart, by the Holy Ghost. I know there may be an outward oratory, but friend, there's nothing in the sight of God. It's what the Holy Ghost applies to a poor sinner. And do you know these good tidings of great joy? Good tidings of a free salvation and free mercy. And you'll know it when the blessed Spirit brings it to your heart. Lift up thy voice with strength, with strength. The strength of the arm of the Lord is an everlasting strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Now, I just dwell upon that. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. David said, what I'm afraid, I'll trust in thee. Now, a wise man is often afraid. I'm often afraid myself. Often afraid. I'm afraid of the capability of my sinnership. I'm often afraid whether, as I know sometimes, where I get to in my soul, where I seem to be found so often, distant and entangled and cold and prayerless, and how afraid we are, afraid of ourselves. Often we're afraid of the devil's threatenings. Oh, there's a real enemy that tries to make the people of God afraid, to drive them from the throne of grace. How we often tremble, afraid of God's judgments. Oh, some of you trembled if the Lord should mark your iniquity. You couldn't stand, friend. When you have to turn again and see greater abominations of these in Jerusalem, that is in the heart of Jerusalem, in your own heart, often we are greatly afraid. And oh, as poor, weak sons of Adam, subject to many changes and passions, and we're dying, we're often afraid in our circumstances, afraid that we won't be ready when the illness comes, afraid indeed that we shall sink, that our faith will evaporate in a dying day. And the only religion we've got was what we kindled ourselves with our own fire and sparks. Often the Lord's people are afraid. David was afraid of God's judgments. Well, a wise man does know many fears. He's often afraid. But these are good tidings. Oh, they're good tidings. Be not afraid. Be not afraid to look to me. Be not afraid to come to me. Be not afraid to tell me how wicked and wretched and desperate you are. You're the vilest sinner out of hell. You're the very chief of sinners. Your wounds stink. Be not afraid to tell me all your wickedness. You wouldn't dare tell another. Be not afraid to draw near to the mercy seat, the place where grace abounds. We sang of that mercy, opening hymn in the middle hymn. Friends, oh, there's forgiveness in him that he may be feared with a holy, lovely filial fear. Be not afraid, or be not afraid of the devil and all his powers. Be not afraid and look to me alone. It's in the exercise of waiting upon the Lord, fears dissipate by the power of the resurrection. Notice the closing part of this chapter. He says, to Jacob, who says, my ways hid from the Lord, and my judgments passed over on my God. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, that Jesus you call upon is the everlasting God, who has sealed the promises of the everlasting covenant with his own heart's blood, and they stand and stand forever. I want to speak to the young this afternoon concerning the rainbow in the sky. A real sign and token from God that the world will not be destroyed by water. And I tried also to point out that rainbow around the throne. No venturing, poor, sinful worm of the earth who draws near wanting God, wanting God's mercy, wanting God's forgiveness, wanting God's visitation, help and blessing will ever be cast away according to the everlasting covenant. So he says, you see, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth. He giveth. Now, dear child of God, that's just what you need, what he gives. And he giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. In other words, they'll experience the faintings and the opposition and the weariness. And yet they, in waiting upon the Lord as they pass through the tribulation of this lower world, in wait upon him, they will renew their strength. They will mount up. Oh, they will run. They will walk. They will get to heaven. They will see him. So, you see, poor, frail, shaking mortals who walk in life's uncertain pathway long for something solid, something real, and that blessed Holy Ghost can alone bring the reality of the Saviour's love and mercy and grace into your heart, into your soul. To give you an earnest foretaste, a divine touch for your day of departure. To live in sweet hope, it will be well. Though your faith is tried, though you may come into some deep waters, as is recorded in the Holy Word of God, of all the way the Lord has led his dear people in this recorded history in the Word of God. The deeps they passed through, yet they were brought safely through. They were not forsaken. So be not afraid. Be not afraid. Be not afraid to so draw near to the Blessed One. But say unto the cities of Judah, just want to make a few remarks on that point. Zion, Jerusalem, the cities of Judah, God's dwelling place, really. A place where God made known his covenant. And you can say concerning the assemblies of the saints or an individual, these are the inhabitants of Zion. Oh, these belong to the cities of Judah. The twos and threes that meet together are people under everlasting covenant. Notice the terminology of Scripture concerning the land of Israel. It was their land forever, meaning to the end of time, and yet had that spiritual dimension even unto a glorious eternity. Though, of course, the earthly Canaan would have to pass away. But they will enter into a new heaven and new earth, which is the real object of the type of Canaan. Canaan's a type of the glory. I noticed the faith of God. It just struck me. I mentioned the rainbow and the seasons continue until the end of time this afternoon. You know, the Lord's word stands, friend, and may we take encouragement from it. The Israelites have returned to their land. You ponder that. I'm not going to go into the detail and the warfare and what we're likely to unfold. That's God's secret. But you mark it. Scattered, because they said, let his blood be upon us. But he made with his seed an everlasting covenant. Typical of the election of grace. And read Romans 10, is it, where there is, or is it 11, where there is a definite declaration that there will be yet a restoring, a restitution of all things to the kingdom of Israel. But that we must leave. But mark it, that's God's faithfulness. And you see, Haman and Hitler could not destroy the seed of Abraham. And the devil and all his lying wonders and powers of today in our government and the nations of the earth cannot destroy the holy seed. They may be martyred. Naboth was martyred by Jezebel. Steve was martyred by the Jews. They may be martyred, but oh, friends, they should enter in. Oh, the righteous can never be moved from the sure foundation. So I hinted just now, a child of God, you want a sure foundation, don't you? Ah, like the dove, I think one of Philpott's portions was on that point recently. Yes, like the dove found that, couldn't find him for soles of her feet, so she returned to the ark. And you want a sure foundation for your needy soul. Be not afraid. Plead Christ. Call upon that precious all-prevailing name. My soul, in all your vast need, in the trials of your life, the sorrows of the way, oh, the spiritual conflicts, the indwelling sinnership, the fresh defilements of conscience, oh, the fears you have. Call upon that precious name. My soul, wait thou only upon God. My expectation is from him, but sound to the cities of Judah, my people, my dear people, you see. This is what it is, the cities of Judah. Why that land was inhabited. And heaven is a place of real habitation. There won't be a missing seat in glory, an empty seat in glory. Not one person who the Lord laid down his life for shall ever be left out. But say to the cities of Judah, the people that plead the covenant, the people that keep the feasts, we're thinking of the Old Testament aspect here, the people that ever sought the Lord, that worship by sacrifice. Oh, that people that look to Jerusalem, the holy city, that look to the temple, like poor Jonah, who running away in sin and unbelief from his God, and then found himself under gracious chastening in the fish's belly, and from the bottom of the Mediterranean Sea, he looked to the holy place. And he said, O Lord, once again toward thy holy temple, and concluded, salvation is of the Lord. For the cities of Judah, that people that ever looked and prayed toward that holy place like Daniel prayed from Babylon with his window open towards Jerusalem. The cities of Judah, sinner, do you pray to the holy place? The holy place sets forth the presence of God, the inner sanctuary, the holy of holies, or the holiest of all it is called. And that's where the ark was, and no man could intrude in there. The Israelites heard of it, but they couldn't see it. Only one appointed person could go in once every year, wash himself, anoint himself, change his garments, shed blood, and went into the presence of God, a beautiful type of the Lord Jesus. And when Jesus bowed his head and gave up the ghost at Calvary and said, Father, I commend my spirit. Gave up the ghost, having cried out, also it is finished. The veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, signifying a way have he made to the holiest of all. Ah, he's entered in with his own blood. So the cities of Judah, the twos and threes for the Gentile nations, those who fear the Lord, they pray to that holy place. They pray and look up to the living God. Yes, in heaven's court above, where Jesus is. So be not afraid in the solemn trials. Now remember this. This merciful and faithful, tender high priest, Jesus Christ, he knows your fears. He knows the tremblings, woes, fears, inhibitions and solemn thoughts that you may have as you face things that you can't face. And your Heavenly Father, who is love, though so holy, yet being love, he gave his dear beloved Son under covenant promise, in that whosoever I touched upon this morning, in whosoever believeth in him, whosoever calleth upon his name. Knowing the plight of man's soul is misery, gave his dear eternal Son, one so apposite and suitable, oh, for the chief of sinners, the weakest of sinners, the weeping pilgrim here below, the most frightened of the people of God. Ah, my dear friends, what I'm afraid, I'll trust in thee. And therefore he gave his dear Son. Now this is what I want to come to, you see. So to the cities of Judah, yes, be not afraid. So to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Now, friend, we can only behold God in the face of Jesus Christ. The Lord, now help me to come to this particular clause, behold your God. And may he enlarge it. I had to tell the Lord and our friends this afternoon that I couldn't preach from it. It was far too vast and great for me. I'd never be able to begin to say anything about it. But the Lord, help me say a few things. Behold the sinner's surety in the glorious person of Jesus Christ. At God's right hand is the sinner's friend. And he sits there, he reigns there, as the surety of his dear people. He's paid all their debt. He's brought in for them an everlasting righteousness. He's made promises and shed his own blood to seal those promises. And he lives. Why? The sinner's friend. And therefore all your debts were paid by him. And if you brought in an everlasting righteousness, and God has raised him up to be your friend, one who will bless you and communicate your Father's love to you and assure your conscience of her part in your dear Redeemer's precious blood that was shed at Calvary. One who can say, peace be unto thee. Who will lay promise into your soul, enlarge your heart, strengthen your weak hands, speak those fear nots to your heart. Oh, speak those gracious words of counsel and instruction, all your vast need, and lay promise. Says, like, behold, I am with thee. Be not afraid, I am thy God. Well, that blessed surety, friends, who stands for you and pleads your cause and will see you at last. And then again, you see, behold your God, with whom in the glorious person of Christ nothing is impossible. Outside Christ your case is impossible, so is mine. Absolutely impossible. We must perish outside the Lord Jesus. But when Gabriel spoke to the Virgin Mother of our blessed Redeemer, he said in his message to her, for with God nothing shall be impossible, nothing. And that means your case, friend, your woes, your weakness, your trials, your distresses, your sorrows, your dreadful sinnership, your fears about dying, your worries about the journey of life that remains for you. What bright scenes may rise, or what gloomy scenes may appear in your life. Yet, may you prove and may I prove, for with God nothing shall be impossible. That great God who can do everything. Didn't Job conclude this? It's a sacred terminology, isn't it? Very beautiful. And I believe it's been a help to God's dear people in their sheer impossibilities again and again. He said, I know that thou canst do everything. And that no thought can be withholden from thee. And the margin there sets it forth clearly. No thought of thine can be hindered. God will do according to his love to his bride. Now you you were favoured with a dear bride. And in your right mind, the tender loves, you do everything you can. You feel all her pain and behold all her sorrow and try to bring all the consolation and try and govern and provide and care and commune in all the deep love of your heart to her. What a kind provision of a godly wife, but that we must leave. And on a much higher and a much holier plane, oh my friends, does the Lord not feel for his dear people? Does he not know the way that they take? Oh my dear friends, oh do you not weep here below? You're himself a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Did he not enter into the sorrows of his dear people to heal them and to bless them? Oh, though that holy, holy God, a sin-hating God, yet as he saw the plight of these humble believers that came to him, he satisfied their soul. He gave them all their desire. I think I said this morning, only one man went away disappointed, and he didn't need anything. But those that needed healing and mercy and forgiveness and help, raising up, oh, that needed cleansing from their leprosy, their ears to be unstopped, their eyes to be opened, and that they, on their beds of sickness, to be raised up to walk, and all those various cases, he healed them all. You mark it. The sacred terminology. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. And again, he healed them all, blessed be his name, all that were brought, all that came in need of his mercy and his blessing. Behold your God in the glorious person of the Lord Jesus, for with God nothing shall be impossible. You know your impossibilities here. I have my personal pathway to walk, my inhibitions and fears and personal trials, and I have to tell the Lord my weakness again and again, the afflictions I fear, the judgments I fear, and the providential circumstances I fear may unfold, and many things. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Never suffer the righteous to be moved. And again, casting all your care, the great weights and the heavy responsibilities, the great concerns of your life in which the Lord has placed you in, and he leads you in a way where you see that you cannot do without him. That's his love to you and grace to you. You must have him with you. He must govern your life. He must overrule all for your good. He must come to your help. He must be your everlasting strength. He alone has to be your wisdom and your counsellor, the one who can only provide and give you your whole desire. Ah, behold your God who can do everything. And I must come to his blessed priesthood. I know I touched upon that towards the end this morning. Only touched upon it. What a blessed priest he is. You see, as priest, he's a mediator. As priest, he's offered one sweet atoning sacrifice, to borrow from poetry. He's offered a real oblation, a true sacrifice which has pleased God. This afternoon's lesson in Genesis is when God smelt the sacrifice of Noah. He smelt a sacrifice of a sweet-smelling savour. How much more? Oh, the savour. Oh, the odours that filled that glorious dwelling place of God. Oh, the sweet savour. Oh, my dear friends, that incense, as it were, filled heaven. Justice was done. God was emptied of his wrath. And the transgressions of David and Solomon and Peter, not before they were called by grace, their backslidings, which were many, and your backslidings here, my friend, your wandering heart, oh, your rebellious spirit, your subtle pride, your unbelief, your murmurings and complainings within your tents, my friends, the sins of Israel, oh, well, all put away. God emptied his wrath upon you for all these things, from the cradle to the grave, and brought in for you an everlasting righteousness. So he's raised up his dear son to his right hand as a merciful and faithful high priest, one who can truly speak to God on your behalf and own you and confess you, and one, my dear friends, who can tell you of God's love and God's mercy and your sins, which are so many, are all forgiven. But his compassion as that high priest, his compassion as that high priest, he can truly, as it were, sympathize and fully understands your inmost sorrows and fears. Through a subtle way of pride, we don't want others to know quite how weak we are, do we? Wouldn't it be proper to tell you all my weaknesses and besetting sins, and especially besetting sins, but also the weakness I am by nature, you see. And it's not always profitable. They're secrets we bear before the Lord, you see. And you, there are those here, you've got weaknesses and fears. You perceive, yes, but you're a wind that passeth away. Why, the grass that withereth. The flower of the field that fadeth, you see. You may have many fears about things in your life and things in the family. And oh, how you fear that dying day and certain afflictions and things in your life. We all vary in this. For those that are nervous, have a weak nervous system, suffer in their mind. Those who have fearful apprehensions. No darkness and depression about many things. And oh, such a guilt concerning your sinnership. So many fears. Oh, but his loving heart engaged with their everlasting surety. He pleads the cause of his people. He does not expect perfection and might and goodness and strength and fortitude from your ruined self, but he will minister fortitude, strength and might and power to in your weakness from himself. That's why he says, fear not, little flock, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Because dear little flock, he's given you to me. He's raised me up as your surety and your high priest in the court of heaven to plead the cause of his own people whom he loves. Oh, what a high priest. He knows the grief of when you tell him weeping your wicked heart. Your wicked heart. I'm not going to mince words. No hiding things in the palms. Give an account of my ministry. Let me deceive no one. Every one of us here has a wicked heart. The heart is deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. The jealousies, the envies, the murders, the hatred, the light-heartedness, the self-seeking, the self-vaunting, this big self that must come first, wanting our own way, self of our own opinion, imposing on others, rebelling, oh, and murmuring and complaining, ever covetous, ever lustful and adulterous and unclean, ever light-hearted and foolish, ever wanting the best of things here below. Oh, friends, I'm not exaggerating. And I believe there are those here who know something what I'm speaking of now. We're undone, my dear friends. Ah, but his loving heart engaged with everlasting short. You may go to God's high priest and tell him your awful case. And as being holy and being love and having shed his blood for you, he's covenanted to bless you. Why, my dear friends, he'll never send any away that come and confess their sins. He's faithful in his house. God has appointed him to receive sinners. And to receive them because he's laid down his life for them. I don't want to make too much reference, but you know, the earthly system of high priests, you know, they intrude into the secrets of other people's inward sins. I'm sure they like it. Oh, they enjoy hearing these things, you see. They're wicked men themselves. A high priest like that won't do, will it? You want the great God to forgive you everything. And he knows when you're grief-struck and abhor yourself. He reads your heart as you abhor yourself and are grief-struck of how bad your case is. And oh, so he makes his pardon known. Lord, make you and I honest, my friends. I can't dwell on the sinnership anymore, but another thought comes, even in the earthly business. How easy it is, my dear friends, to overcharge. How easy, my dear friends, to knock down a price of something. But I think this coming along. It's the easiest thing in the world, isn't it? Oh, to cut somebody down, to get a good bargain for yourself. That's not loving our neighbour as ourselves, is it? I know we have to make profit, not going to those things now. That's earthly business. But the Lord reads the heart. He knows your covetousness and your greed, and he knows mine as well. If I was engaged in earthly business, I'd be just the same myself, so I'm not casting stones. Ah, my dear friends, for the fear of the Lord to be written in our very heart, in all our dealings with the sons of men, and especially the household of faith. Well, I'm digressing. I don't know why I said that, really. It stopped me coming along the motorway. The M11 had gone out of my mind, but it's come back again. But I must pass on. Behold your God, my friends, his everlasting power and might. Now, I touched upon just now, he can do everything by his might and his power. Now, my friends, he rules in glory. He rules in glory. He governs the world. Don't things look out of control at the present time? What are we heading for? Anarchy, chaos, confusion. You can well see the meaning of the scripture as these things are beginning to take place now. That except those days be short and no flesh should be saved. And yet, my friends, he sitteth upon the flood. He sitteth king forever. Why, his voice is mighty in the waves of the sea. My friends, he upholds heaven and earth by his command. And therefore, what a king. What a king with power. Oh, for you poor, seeking sinner, he can do everything. And let me trace out some of the Lord's dear people, their exiles. Look back over your life. How you've seen the Lord appearing again and again and again. Those answers to your poor prayers when you were faint. When it seemed impossible, when your spirit was sinking before God, you felt you could not be heard. Perhaps your sins were so great, or maybe this affliction and trial was just so heavy. Everything was against you, impossible. And yet you cried to the Lord in your trouble. Have you noticed this? So often in these things, it's a mercy the Lord gives you, a little hope and access. You're able to be submissive to him about the issue, believing him to be good. And yet, so sweetly at times, he gives you sacred arguments to plead his merit, his name, what he has said. Often think of that word, it's a difficult word to preach from. It's a blessed word, though, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Behold your God, who has said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now what grace we need here. We are directed to ask in accordance with his will and reverence him. In his divine instruction he taught in what is commonly called the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. There's times in desperation, my own case, no doubt with your cases, had to sink down. Lord, read your anguished heart, knowing your frailty and mortality and your weakness and the overwhelming grief. You have to say, thy will be done, Lord. I know thou art good. What I need is thy grace with me. Have compassion, Lord. Oh, grant from thyself all that I need to fill my poor, broken, earthen, dying vessel, Lord. And he hears. He arises, you see. Behold your God. Why, the sinner's friend. But I must come back to this. What a glorious king. Oh, my dear friends, how you want to be in his hands and you want his sway to be over you. May we judge him faithful like Abraham. Both Abraham and Sarah judged God faithful, didn't they? We read concerning Sarah, as she laughed in unbelief. She judged him faithful that promised. So in spite of the flaws of our sinnership, unbelief, forgetfulness, and declining exercises sometimes, oh, how you feel so bitter. How can I return to the Lord like this? Oh, Lord. Oh, maybe last month or a week ago, oh, the tenderness and brokenness. But where are you now? Oh, how can the Lord look upon you now? You've wandered. And can he look upon you still? May we plead the precious blood of the everlasting covenant that he may receive us according to the scriptures. And that blessed King, you know, whose tender loving heart is engaged with everlasting surety, you know, he knows all that he will do with his dear people. And it's in this promise, I'll see you again. He'll see his people in glory. So he beholds them now. And you're instructed in your trial and your weakness to behold your God. Behold the author of your faith. Has grace taught your heart to pray? And if it was grace, have you had an eye to the King of grace? The King in Jerusalem? As you began to pray, you wanted him to cast the mantle of his love over you. You wanted him to bring you under the bond of his everlasting covenant. You wanted him to deal graciously and mercifully with you and save you from your sins and from yourself. Want him to come down and dwell with you and order your way safely, bring you safety through your days. And can you not raise an Ebenezer to that glorious King? Behold your God, yet the author of your faith. And now, as he sits there, that glorious King, your surety, you may plead the finish of your salvation. You know, we read in the opening, her warfare is accomplished. Her appointed time is accomplished. Her iniquity is pardoned. She has received the Lord's hand double for all her sin. Her warfare is accomplished. That means that the mighty God of Jacob, as he sits on the throne in glory, he's ordering your life. And has allotted my dying pillow and your dying pillow. And so he assures his people, your warfare is accomplished, iniquity is pardoned. Now he wanted to finish your faith, that is to strengthen you and to show you more of his everlasting covenant, to speak more to your heart. Now I want to come, I see time has gone, I haven't really got into this, I felt I wouldn't get into it properly, it seems so vast, but behold your God, that is to behold him, that is to see him, you see. Behold him, the loving man Christ Jesus. Which reminds of the words of Pilate, as I say it. He said to them, didn't he, as he brought him in, behold the man. They beheld a man under ignominy, reproach. Oh, they beheld their prisoner. Oh, they beheld him whom they despised. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief who indeed was bearing sin in him, the sins of his dear people. And later said, behold your king, as they mocked him, gorgeously arrayed in the purple, and crowned with that crown of thorns. So they saw him, but faith sees him in glory, no longer as that holy sufferer. And of course, they beheld him, those wicked Jews, in absolute hatred and enmity, but faith wants to behold him who died for you. Now he is the Blessed One who alone can bring you near to behold him and speak to your heart. Behold your God in the glorious person of the Lord Jesus. Yes, behold him as living in heaven for you. Behold him in all the promise of his grace, in all his love and mercy and divine power. You think of the mercy that has followed you all your days. You see, you behold your God in his mighty hand upon you, in your circumstances. You behold your God as you know his power over you in your soul and the communications he stirs up your heart in distress, anxiety and prayer and supplication to so draw near. And you behold him as he brings his exceeding precious promises, his word of grace into your heart. And the heavens begin to drop down into your soul. That's where you behold your God, your heavenly friend. And I must come to the bridegroom of your soul. You know, dear friends, his church is complete. Oh, believer, you may be dry tonight. You may be in a sad and solemn place tonight. But if you're calling upon that precious name and need him, you can't rest without him. You cannot be satisfied without him. Of course, as he leads you along in his divine government, as king and priest and husband and friend, he's ordering your providence through many deep waters and crooked places, those valleys of sorrow here, temptation and fear. And there's one blessed end in it. You may see his good hand, know his appearing, know him as that performing God to undertake for you. So it's a path of continually committing your way unto your God, your God. Believing in your heart, thou art the Christ, the Blessed One. And what a mercy you can truly say, I have beheld him. I do know him. I daren't deny that. I daren't deny before you, my friends, I'm such a wretched sinner. I really wonder sometimes whether I really will endure and get home at last. It seems impossible to me, and it is with me alone, it's impossible. Ah, but with him all things are possible. Now, do you feel the same about yourself? You really wonder, but can you deny he has visited you? He has blessed you. He has made himself known. Well, I do believe that both you and I, we cannot deny it. You have tasted the Lord is gracious. He has been gracious, but aren't we poor? Aren't we mean in our service? Oh, my dear friends, aren't we wanderers from him? Behold your God, he lives. See, he's short, he stands bail. He's paid all. There's nothing owing. And your heavenly Father's love is upon you as it was from all eternity. And he sees you now complete in his beloved Son. Oh, what a loving bridegroom he is. He knows what you need as that blessed physician. He can supply every need. But you see, behold your God, he says it to his people, be not afraid in their trials. Behold your God, that God that has brought you safely thus far. Brought safely by his hand thus far. What far? Why dost thou give way to fear? Has he not his promise passed? Thou shalt overcome at last. Well, it's looking unto Jesus, isn't it? Your God, your friend. So, sensitive, behold your God. Now, I did look at these two following verses and I longed to be able to get to them, but I felt really sitting over there, at Over in the home at Over, it was just behold your God I must speak from. But just observe briefly, I don't know why I can't, not been allowed to enlarge this, but I'll just quote it. Now, it is wonderful, isn't it? You see, behold your God in glory. Behold. This is what he'll do to his church, his hidden ones, his little ones in Zion. The Lord God will come with strong hand, and he has, hasn't he? Many times in your life. I know it speaks of his strong hand in coming to redeem, and as a prophecy of his coming, his incarnation, and of his life, and as of his death. But even in your life, behold, your God will come. That God who you adore and you trust, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. His reward is with him, his bride. Look at his bride on earth. Poor weeping sinners. Often cast down, often wondering where the scene would end. So tried, so sin-sick. Oh, they got, they said, poor sin-sick souls, aren't they? His reward is with him. Why? The labour of his hands. I don't believe in the labour of my hands to get me to heaven, but I believe in the labour of his hands, his blessed hands. Oh, he's gotten a great victory. With infinite power, he bruised Satan. And has destroyed, yes, the him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Oh, my dear friends, his strong arm, and his arm shall rule for him, for his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He knows the needs of driving along this morning. Nehemiah 25, I noticed a tractor dropping out food. It was the gulls that attracted me, actually, but food, and there were horses and cattle in the field, and how they're all flocking along behind, you see, the farmer supplying. And what is your food, my friends? I hope it's this. Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are my glorious dress. Midst flaming worlds, with these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head. And again, if it comes to my mind clearly, Jesus, thy Godhead, blood and name. Oh, 'tis eternal life to know. Here let my soul her whole maintain, when pressed by conscience, wrath or law, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He'll give them the manna, his lovely self, to feed upon him, believe in him, draw near and wrestle in prayer, and lay upon his everlasting strength. And that means he'll care for in your providence, and look after you at home and at work, family affairs, and bring a poor needy sinner remarkably, miraculously, safely through his days, shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and gently those that are with young. Oh, the tender blade of the appearing of the work of grace, he won't trample on and stamp it out. He'll bring the weathers to bring to the full corn in the air, but, oh, he'll gather the lambs, his little bleating ones, his small people. I wasn't saying the lambs, I know, of course, it does mean the early seeking soul. I realize it may mean that. And even the dear children may be wrought upon the lambs, but I don't want to just merely emphasize that, you see. Those who are tender, and broken and distressed, and feel so small in the things of God. You sat in the chapel and said, Lord, I'm not like thy dear people. I'm so different. I'm such a sinner. I can't trust properly, Lord. I'm so tried. The enemy seems to get such an advantage over me. See, this early appearing of the work of grace. Well, he knows, you see, his little ones in Zion. It is not your Father's will that one of these little ones should perish. These poor seeking souls. And shall gather the lambs with his arm. That does mean little ones, of course, as well, and early seeking souls. And carry them in his bosom. And shall gently lead those that are with young, under exercise and travail, carrying burdens, wanting deliverance, in travail for the Lord's blessing, to be delivered. and in pain, and they can't bring forth all the blessing they want. Oh, they only bring forth wind, Isaiah 26. He gently says that I'm with young, you see. He knows what sore temptation he has felt the same. Well, his tender loving heart engaged me, the everlasting children. 8 o'clock, I've got to stop. I do have to confess I haven't got into the subject properly, and I realised I wouldn't. And even in the night watches, I said, Lord, it's too great, and I can't speak from it, but here we are at 8 o'clock, and I must close. But, oh, may we behold our God, your friend in heaven, friend. Now, the Holy Ghost will do this. The Holy Ghost will do this. May we ask our most holy, holy Father in heaven, in the glorious person of his dear Son, pleading his name, his merit, his every word of grace, his righteousness, his shed blood, and ask in his precious name of our most holy Father, for God, the Holy Ghost, to make Christ precious and real to us. This is the instruction of the Lord Jesus to his church when living here. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And my friends, with that blessed Holy Spirit breathing, softening influence, sanctifying effect, he can bring Emmanuel into the sight of faith, and he can bring him home in his love and mercy right into your heart. Then you will behold your God, and I believe you'll know a kindling of a love which is forever and forever and forever. Let us ask the Lord's blessing upon the word. O Lord, do forgive all that's been spoken wrongly and in weakness here tonight, but all bless that which has been of the Holy Spirit of truth, been the pure doctrine of the truth, that has been right in thy sight. May something remain to do us good. Now grant us safe journeys home. Now in the days, Lord, our remaining days, grant there may be those seasons when we shall truly behold our God. And oh, that it may come, we may behold thee forever at last, without a cloud between. We plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £665, for which we are very thankful. And the collections today are for the help in the disaster in the Philippines through the Samaritan's Purse. And God willing, Mr. Pickett is expected to preach on Friday evening with a collection for the TBS. And next Lord's Day there will be a reading service in the morning, and Mr. Jim Ince is expected to preach in the evening. Let us close with hymn 527. What a divine harmonious sound the gospel trumpet gives. No music can with it compare. The soul that knows it lives. 527.
the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet communion and comfort of the Holy Ghost abide with us each, both now and for evermore. Amen.